work through the day. If you just, let's give it a second. I would hope that someone would be prepared to give us a motion for the bill that we will have as our markup bill. Any comments?
Mr. Chairman, because the prime sponsor is the same in both bills, I would assume the prime sponsor would want the latest version introduced to be the markup bill.
I was going to say essentially the same thing, Mr. Chairman. I think it might be difficult to testify for this committee to don't rush that on the way to the work. And we may get some confusion. I really don't think it makes that much difference which bill. There's a lot of similarities. There's some different statements to somewhat of a concept. If I got out of order, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we use Senate Bill 352 as we have a markup document, as far as concerned.
We have a motion for it. We can send Bill 352 as a markup bill. We'll use Senate Bill 352 as our markup bill as we proceed through.
That's because I didn't have Senate Bill 10.
So we have copies of Senate Bill 10 available for us, and I'm sure that Section 5 of Senate Bill 10 will be included in the initial bill prepared. So with that, then we know that Senate Bill 352 is the bill we will be considering as our markup bill. Now, one other thing is we have not had any testimony at all on Senate Bill 370. I think now would be an opportune time for us to get some testimony on the record for Senate 370, which is the bill that an act authorizing the acquisition of the Alaska Railroad, authorizing the government to negotiate the transfer of customs and providing for an effective date. I think we all have a copy of it available here. It's by the Rules Committee by request of the governor. And I would assume that we have representatives from the governor's office that would like to give us some testimony at this time on Senate Bill 370. I have some reservations about some of the sections in it, but I would like to ask either Mark Hickey or perhaps Mark, would you serve as Senator Mead?
Available to basically answer questions in terms of the legislation. It is a bill fairly similar to one that the committee saw in December that the governor has introduced and recommends quick movement. It's primarily oriented towards allowing executive to move ahead with U.S. Department of Transportation and in accordance with the federal transfer legislation, obtaining certifications that the state will acquire the Alaska Railroad. That is the main purpose and focus of the legislation.
Mark, I'd like to point out one of the places that I have a little heartburn in, perhaps, Section 2, page 2, line 11. The way it's worded, it says the governor may enter into transfer compensation any other related agreement to the United States Secretary of Transportation or Secretary of Transportation, etc. I have a little problem with the beginning at the compensation and any other related. That is a very, very broad statement there that I'm just wondering what why we have to have it so broad, because that could just open Pandora's box, and the legislature would not have the opportunity, perhaps, at that time, if we're not still in session, to agree or disagree or give guidance to the governor, perhaps.
Senator, I
seems to me like that we're really talking about two things. We're talking about acquisition and operation, and a political question has to be, do we separate the two issues, or do we keep them together? I think that's philosophical. State our intention to the federal government Department of Transportation. That it is the intent of the Alaska State Legislature to acquire the railroad, subject to certain conditions. Then where would the legal authorization, the bill, this bill, 370, would that be incorporated then in the operating bill? Would it have to be incorporated in the operating bill? Maybe it is.
I can't get an answer on the legal. I think from what we've talked to the law people about so far is they would say yes, somewhere it would have to be incorporated in the operating bill. As a matter of policy, the governors, we've heard people talk to myself and others that this is a decision we'll all be doing together. So somewhere, either in a new piece of legislation attached to the entity bill or part of the entity bill, you would have to agree to the conditions that are laid out in Section 1.
If it's the legislature's desire not to pass a bill that kind of gives the governor part of Wonka out here, in case the operating bill either didn't speak to the satisfaction of the governor, would be to hope something like that. These requirements here that have to be met by law, by the state, and then we would be laying before the governor a law which would be tying his hands to the point that he has to make the decision, I have to live with what's in.
second significant point that I would make with regard to deficiency in Senate Bill 10, which we would like to see go to rest with Senate Bill 10, is that Senate Bill 10 puts the railroad within the Department of Transportation. And as you know, 352 does not, and we are pleased not to have it within transportation. My third point is, this is sort of a more technical point, but the major problems with Senate Bill 10 in general is that it constructs a bureaucracy and does all kinds of arbitrary things which we think are unnecessary and undesirable. For instance, it places a limit on the compensation of the chief executive officer, and I think that it's fair to say that a limit on compensation is, in some instances, analogous to a limitation on the opportunities for selecting among the best available talent. It places unnecessary administrative controls on the operating board or board of commissioners. It provides, Central 10 provides for unnecessary legislative oversight financial control, which we think is undesirable. Senate Bill 10 would have the effect of transferring all railroad lands to the state and precluding them from being transferred into the hands of the railroad that's operating up there. And we think that would be an undesirable effect.
sections, I'm referring to Senate Bill 10,
example, we know right now that the railroad, in connection with Hydratrack, has created a very good freight rate for lumber. They have got the full car at a certain rate, and then if you put 50% more in that car in lumber, they give you a half rate on it. And Hydratrain's doing this in connection with the railroad. That's cheaper, and now Sealand and Tote, and this is from the Tote man, Spiro, explained all this to me. Spiro, I haven't got his name right, said that they now have to decide whether they're going to lower their freight rates to match that, because the railroad in connection with Hydratrain is giving 50% more bulk rate into Alaska, which means lower freight rates on commodities, the lumber industry, for the people of Alaska. So who are we serving here? It's a better deal for the people. The small contractor and the people who have to go to the lumber yard will pay less for their lumber because of that freight making deal that Hydratrain and the Alaska Railroad made for the people of Alaska. And so his the ITC man said was, what are you going to do then for the people of Alaska? If we agree to make the railroad only the railroad and not allow them to do these other things, what are you, the trucking industry, going to give us in exchange for that, the people of Alaska? And I think that was a very good point.
I think, yes, of course, Hydratrain is a water carrier, and I can't even comment. I have no idea what the rules are. I think then the state needs to decide if their concept is it better to be a socialistic type and offer all of these under a state umbrella funding, or is it better to leave it in the private industry? Senator, you do give up something the state does when a state or federal government enters into another industry. Do you want to then give up these $100 million in private and take that under the umbrella of the state and say it is to your betterment that the state provides the service for you, or do you want to encourage private industry?
But I want to encourage private industry at the lowest freight rate for the people of the state of Alaska. It's the consumer out there that I'm concerned about right now. If we can set up an entity that will bring this, ever since I've been in Alaska, which is only since 1967, people have been complaining about the cost of commodities, the freight rate, how much it costs them to get all our goods and services up here, or the goods, the commodities up here. And if we can do something to lower that freight rate, then wouldn't that be to the betterment of the people of Alaska?
Well, I guess that's a decision you need to make then, if the state should take that concept.
Secretary
Kent. Well, continuing as a devil's advocate, or as one who has to make decisions, we have testimony from many people saying, make this entity a private entity. And then we have private entities coming to us and say, tie this in private entity's hands so that they can proceed to make the best profit possible or give the best service to the people. And you can see where we are.
I understand. And I think that what you should then, your decision should be based on, are we buying a railroad road for the purpose of providing railway service, or are we entering into the entire transportation mode for the purpose of being transporters?
Chairman, if I may proceed with this, then are you saying to us, and you keep saying, you know, socialist state control, are you saying to us that you think the state should keep the railroad and that the state should operate the railroad, and the state should say, we won't get any other mode of travel?
I believe that the state should purchase the railroad, yes. We are customers of the railroad, and we use the railroad as well as competing with the railroad along Parks Highway. I believe, however, that the state needs to make the decision that they will provide the railroad road service or a railway service until such time as they can sell it to a private entity. And we're talking railway service. You know, the railroad was for sale, and no one bought it. And so, you know, the state is placed in a position of continuing that service, which we support, because they have the funds to do so.
Continue, Senator Frankie.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't get an answer to my question. You know, I'm asking you, are you saying to us, keep the railroad and stay and let the state operate it and control it and say you can't go past this? Or are you saying to us, we'd rather see it in private enterprise
you're saying neither? No, I think I answered your question, and I will answer it again.
If what you're saying is what you just said, you don't have to repeat it. I heard it. I just go ahead and try and say it again. Maybe we're not communicating so well.
I am saying that, yes, the state should purchase the railroad. Yes, that answers your question. I am saying that, no, they should not get into other modes of transportation.
My dear, that does not answer my question. Let me ask it again. My question is, now, I don't care. I'm not asking about buying a railroad. Let's say it's a given. We're going to buy a railroad.
Yes.
Now we've got the railroad, right? It's a state of it. Now, are you saying this now, at this point in time, you should continue to operate that railroad, or are you, and restrict it so that it doesn't compete with private enterprise? Or are you saying to us, give it private hands and restrict them so that they can't make the maximum profit? Or are you saying neither?
If the state is funding the funds into this, and you can set up all the private corporations you want to, but you don't have a private corporation whenever it is totally funded by state money. Is that correct? Do we understand that? Okay. So then to say that...
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then to say that you have a private enterprise, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't know that you're going to have a private enterprise. We believe that, yes, it would be ideal for the state to sell the railway system if they can at a later date.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let me try.
Maybe you can make more clear.
It is your position that ultimately the railroad should be a private enterprise.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Ultimately.
And I think the question that Senator Fahrenkamp is asking is that if we write into this law that the railroad cannot get into other modes of transportation, maritime and trucking, specifically. How can we transfer it to private enterprise if those are the entities and those are the activities that will make the railroad profitable? Are we building a trap by putting into the law that requirement which will impede us from ever transferring to private enterprise? I think that's what you're asking.
That was the ICC man's point. But that is the point. Okay, then that is the question I can answer. If you sell it to a private entity, then we would not have an argument to come to you and say, all right, if you sell, then these are the strings attached. No, we would not do that. If it was a private entity, we would compete, and they should have every reason to go into any mold and every mold. But
so
we do not have a private entity totally funded by state funds.
So what you're saying is that if we were sitting here making a decision of whether to transfer this to private enterprise, you would be testifying to remove those restrictions?
We would probably not be testifying to remove them. We would probably not testify at all. I would say we would not have an argument if we came to you then, sir. But right now, we feel we do have an argument. That's what I'm saying.
Such fakes.
You don't want public monies competing with private dollars when you have to amortize and do all of your things, make your deductions and all that kind of stuff, and the big state here with its deep pocket can get in there and artificially lower things. All right, I understand that. But it's a game. If you all are playing by the same rules, and if the railroad's playing by the same rules and have to go to the same bank to borrow the same money and have to pay their bills in the same way, then competition's fair and you'll all have that.
And we would not be making that same argument. I would guarantee you.
See, I'm going to have to learn how to pose a question because that's exactly what I asked. I understood you.
It's me.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Perhaps
it's tough
would the
I know,
trucking
sorry.
Industry be interested in purchasing the railroad?
Thing
that would be a thing we wouldn't have any problem at all.
We are having difficulty purchasing the trucking firms.
Any other questions? Comments?
Just a comment. Really not picking on the trucking industry or not a chase rasher.
truly a heavy truck tax rather than a uniform tax against the trucking industry.
One question. It has nothing to do with the railroad, and then again it may. I'm getting some complaints up in my part of the country, and I also have a problem too with the double trailer deal, and maybe one of these days they're going to have three of them. They're going to have a rail on an asphalt road up there one of these days. The problem I've got is when you pass one of those trucks in the wintertime in the interior, you better start stopping before you pass it, because you're going to lose it with the snow, the blowing snow and stuff we've got like that. I'm concerned that we are hauling too many trailers behind those tractors up there at one time.
You know, on the Parks Highway, 105 feet is allowed.
I know that.
Okay,
I think that's too much, because when we've got skiff snow on that road, you're blinded. At nighttime, you don't know where you're going to end up in a ditch or what. I wanted to make this point while you were here, because I know you're working with all the people there. But I just wanted to get that on the record. But I do have a problem with it, and hopefully you'll address that, because I don't mind telling you, I may be trying to do some legislation that will eliminate that under certain periods of the year because of these conditions that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we do have the Department of Transportation Senator does have road restrictions that they can put on nearly at any time, so maybe we can get together on that.
Well, we need to talk about it, because we do have some problems, especially with those double trailers that we're running up there now.
You're talking about the 240s.
It's bad enough just with a regular trailer, but whenever you've added the second one in there, they can't even see the second one that's coming along.
Is that, what, in March, February, March?
Well, during this period, well, right now, for example, during this period of time, we've got our problem with it. The skim of snow that's on the road, it goes up and we've had it. I just wanted to mention that because I think perhaps some of the rest of it, I think Senator Fakey had some comments.
TJ, this data is from on U.S. based on U.S., right? These aren't the Alaskan figures. This is
which one do you have? The number of trucks in Alaska is.
Okay, this is. Where? What is the source of these numbers?
Most of it is from the American Trucking Association.
The U.S.
Department.
Right, it's lower 48 stuff.
Well,
it's not. These are not automobiles. 5.5 million in the state of Alaska. These are composite figures.
This is,
okay. What I asked as a member of the committee when whoever said it was for the amount paid in the state of Alaska.
That's if you will. I know you haven't had a chance to look through there, Senator. If you will, you will know why I cannot tell you that amount. The New Service Transportation Assistance Act gave some exemptions to the lighter weight trucks. Now we have, of course, the information of who is a heavy truck and who is not. Although there are some exemptions even in the heavier truck for those owners who own less than 5 trucks.
Okay, so that the new law in Congress gave exemptions to some trucks
yes.
paying taxes. So as of the new law, the trucking industry is paying less than they used to pay.
No. They gave exemptions only for 1 year.
All right. So you've given a reprieve.
For some, if you all agree right. that. And that's very limited, but it is some.
But this is not specific to the state of Alaska.
Yes, it is.
Maybe the Congress here.
You're on the other.
Yeah.
The
this is
table is yes.
This is U.S. The lower 48,
including.
Okay.
And you have your Department of Transportation here for many years could not get the data at the national level. Therefore, everything we had was lower 48 only. That's not the case now. We are included in most instances in all of these.
See, I'm not interested in Iowa. So I just wanted Alaskan data. We are talking about an Alaskan railroad, so I wanted an Alaskan truck data.
You do have Alaskan truck data.
Okay, sure.
Yes.
I want to express my appreciation for the time that you and the efforts going into this. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments at this particular time? PD, I want to thank you for your testimony. And I would ask that the members of the committee have their staff work with us to prepare whatever amendments we deem necessary on the two bills that we've had before us today, so that we will try to get back into this with the purpose of doing some amendments next Tuesday and come back and say. do a good quality job within a time of